Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are discussing why people reject God.
And in today's podcast, we really believe you'll receive valuable insight and wisdom for those who are in your sphere of influence and don't know God.
That's right. You know, understanding a person's past experiences and upbringing can give us valuable insight into how to minister God's love and truth to people. You know, ask people questions about themselves, then listen. Eventually, we can ask if they have a spiritual background. They will usually reveal their reason for rejecting God. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So listen for things such as, did they grow up in an overbearing religious home? Or are they offended with a Christian? Did their earthly father or some other authority figure abandon or abuse them, so now they have a warped view of God? Or do they simply enjoy their sin and don't want to change? Or do they already know it all? In other words, they are arrogant and prideful in their knowledge or education.
Oh, those are some great things to consider. You know, and knowing these things, Bill, can also arm us with how to pray more effectively for this person. You know, it can take years of showing love, refraining our tongue, and fervent prayers to reach those closest to us. But don't get discouraged, and whatever you do, don't start off preaching to them. I've made that mistake in my early walk with God.
I was
very zealous and wanted them to come to Christ, but preaching at them just turned them off at the time, you know? And many times, family doesn't receive from family. And sometimes, not until they are on their deathbed will they be open. But God can send laborers into their path that they will respect and listen to. And don't underestimate the power of your godly witness in their lives. Never compromise truth and always display Christ's care and love for them, regardless of their behavior. And that's not always easy to do.
That's right. You know, the Holy Spirit will quicken us with what to say if we simply ask Him. If a person is really hurting and broken, we can share the love of God with them. You know, the Bible tells us love never fails. Sometimes those who appear really tough on the outside are hurting the most. Others worship the God of intellect and think they will know it all. You know, it may be wiser to ask them a question that they can't answer rather than debating their nonsense. The God of this world has blinded their minds. Ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom in that moment.
Oh, those are good points, Bill. You know, and we have to recognize when a person is simply not open or willing to listen. You know, many times it would be better if we prayed for them rather than debate them. And sometimes we are just simply to plant a seed of God's word and then walk away. And we also don't want to cast pearls before swine, as the Bible says.
That's right.
And yet there may be times the Holy Spirit will prompt us to be bold with someone and not let them off the hook because that person may not have long to live.
Right. And that reminds me of a story, actually, with a woman that I didn't let off the hook. This elderly woman asked me to list her home. I was selling homes in real estate business. And she said, "Look, I know you're one of those Christians, and I don't want to hear anything about the Bible. Don't talk to me ever about the Bible." So she signed the listing, and, you know, normally you would respect what she said and you would not share with her something she doesn't want to hear. But the Holy Spirit rose up in me and quickened me and said, "Don't let her off the hook." And so I said, "You know, you've pushed the truth away from you and you need to hear it. You need to hear about God." And she goes, "No, I don't want to hear it. Get out of my house. Sell my house." I said, "No, you're going to listen." She goes, "No, I'm not going to listen." I said, "Yes, you are." I was very bold with her. I said, "You're going to hear it." And so I convinced her to sit down for 10 minutes. I explained to her the way of salvation, how much God loves her, how He wants to take her to heaven, that she just needs to simply repent, turn away from her sin, and receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior, that He died for her in her place, and she could go to heaven. I told her how much God loves her. And she just was not interested at all. And she just responded with, "I'm not interested. Sell my house." So I left. Well, 2 hours later, she was dead. Now you see why the Lord was prompting me to tell her the way of salvation. See, that's God's grace and mercy. He was long suffering with her all the way to this old age and has me come in front of her to tell her again the way of salvation right to the last.
Yeah, it's just hours before she died.
Right. So she has no excuse. Now, I hope she changed in those last hours, but it didn't appear so. And that would be so sad that she would go to hell after the Lord was trying with her so desperately to keep her out. You know, one more story to share. There was another man who called me up to list his home, and he was a wealthy owner of a construction company, very arrogant man. He was an agnostic, just didn't believe in anything. And when I came over to list the home, right away he started off a debate about the Bible. And he started arguing, saying it's fairy tale, all religions are the same, you Christians are just hanging on a crutch. And he went on and on. And well, I debated with him back and forth, and I refuted each one of his points strongly. And this went on for over an hour. And at the end, he said, well, you almost convinced me. He said, you put up a good argument. He says, but I am just not interested. That was his response. And so the Lord brought something to my remembrance that I had read. And I said, you know, if I was to offer you a cup of cold water or $100 million, which would you take? Well, the $100 million, of course. Yet if you were in the desert dying and you have less than a half an hour to live, you're going to die of thirst. And I offer you the $100 million or the cup of cold water, which would you take? You would take the cup of cold water. I said, it's called circumstantial priorities. I said, you might not be interested in the cup of cold water, the offer of salvation now, but there's coming a day where you will stand before the holy throne of Almighty God at Judgment Day, and he will ask you, why didn't you receive my son Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Why did you reject him? You will have no excuse. You will be guilty, and you'll stand before him with nothing to say, and he will have to say, depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And you will have no excuse. You will be desperate for that offer of salvation, that cup of cold water. But it'll be too late then. You won't get it. And anyway, I planted those seeds. He did not repent or receive Jesus, but I planted a lot of seeds. And again, he said, you almost convinced me. You gave me a lot of good arguments, and you were not concerned about losing the listing. You were more concerned about getting your viewpoint across to me. So he gave me the listing. I sold it. I witnessed to him many more times. So again, I just was a seed planter.
Yeah, he respected your stand, though.
Right. But you can also see some people are so hard against God.
It reminds me of, isn't that book of Acts where it's King, was it King Agrippa that said, you almost persuaded me to
right,
Paul?
Exactly. And you know, again, this man was rich. So, you know, he was trusting in his riches.
Yes.
You know, and that can be difficult for some people.
Oh, those are good stories and true. You know, and as we've mentioned, people reject God for a variety of reasons. And I know there are also many who deny God even exists. And I remember, Bill, that one atheist asked you or said to you, if there is a God, then why is there so much evil in the world? And you responded with a question saying, if there is no God, then why is there so much good in the world? And he couldn't answer that.
That's right. Where does all this good come from?
Exactly.
You know, I heard another minister say that he was confronted in one of his meetings by an atheist who said, I don't believe there is a God, and I think you are wrong to teach that there is. And the pastor responded to the atheist with this question. Do you think you know all there is to know in life? The atheist said, no, I don't know everything. Well, the minister said, well, let's just say you are an exceptionally bright man, one of the smartest people in the world, and you know half of everything there is to know. Do you think God could be in the other half? It's something to think about.
That's good. You know, and Bill, another reason people reject God is they choose to agree with the godless culture that's all around us and that attacks Jesus Christ in the Bible.
That's right.
They're influenced by this culture. And this includes secular society's attack also on morality and traditional family values. There is demonically inspired godly or ungodly ideas, philosophies, and beliefs that permeate today's culture. And it permeates today's government, education, news media, Hollywood, social media, and people of influence in all spheres of life. And increasingly, and this is sad, that the hostility and rejection of God's word is also coming from within Christianity and the religious world.
Right. There's such an attack on the word of God and also taking it literally from the Christians, which is really sad. You know, the bottom line is people reject God of their own free will. We know creation is screaming there is a God. It's so obvious that there's a creator. They have a conscience telling them right from wrong, which many ignore, and God even put eternity in man's heart, as the scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:11. Now let's read 2 Corinthians 3:14-15. 14 through 16. And verses 14 and 15 are speaking about the children of Israel. And it says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." And then one other version, it says, "But whenever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, the veil is stripped off and taken away."
That's powerful. So again, that's showing all a person has to do is turn their heart a little bit towards God.
That's right.
And that veil is removed. Even though the God of this world has blinded their minds, as 2 Corinthians 4:4 states, people remain blind because they choose to reject Jesus Christ. And the scripture goes on to say the devil has blinded the mind of the unbelieving, or them which believe not. Again, that's a choice. And all it takes is a person exercising some humility to turn to the Lord.
That's right.
And he'll take that veil away.
A little humility. You know, that's why praying for someone is so important. You know, in the name of Jesus, command the power of Satan to be broken over their minds. Ask the Father God to send laborers with the gospel to them who they will respect and listen to, and thank him for giving them ears to hear and a heart to receive. Ask and thank him for taking out the stony heart and giving them a heart that is tender and responsive to God.
Yes, that's Ezekiel 36:26.
Yes.
I like to pray that one for our loved ones as well. You know, and as followers of Jesus Christ, I just want to encourage everyone, you know, may we not ever compromise God's word, nor bow down to the world's sin and take the side of evil. Let's all stay alert and mindful of the deception that has overtaken so many. Jesus said that many people are on the wide road that leads to hell. And to be on the road that leads to heaven, we must walk upon the narrow road.
That's right. And Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." He is the only way to heaven. Now we must first walk in obedience to his word and show love towards one another. Let's walk in the boldness and power of the Holy Spirit and be salt and light as the Lord continues to give us the grace, wisdom, and strength needed to win a lost and dying world.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org.